So, welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast, and I'm going to talk to Keith about a movie that I had already reviewed, which was Bohemian Rhapsody, which I thought was a very sanitized version of Freddie Mercury, a very basic biopic. And Keith, what did you think of Bohemian Rhapsody?
Well, I thought it was an entertaining film. They added some dramatic elements that didn't belong. It conveyed a lot of the general thing, and it kept in there the music and the experimentation they did in music and the talent. Rami Malek was perfect against Freddie Mercury.
Yes, I will say that because
he's rock solid.
Yeah, because Sacha Baron Cohen was supposed to be at least in an earlier version of the script. Freddie Mercury.
Oh, hell no. I mean, he's got the height for it. Like, the only downside was that Rami Malek was a bit short for the role, but whatever. It's fine.
Yeah. And I mean, Rami Malek's American playing against a whole bunch of British actors and actresses works well. I mean, it shows his range.
Yeah, he did. He did very well.
Well, one thing I had brought up on the original podcast that he kind of got a start in the Pacific, that HBO miniseries that was next iteration of Band of Brothers, on a good arc, and he is now currently Mr. Robot.
I just enjoyed watching the film. The way Bryan Singer did it, and I forget who came behind him and took over the directing role, it was done to make it by the numbers. Like, granted, Freddie Mercury's life was way more controversial. There was a lot more crap going on in it. They took it and they didn't dwell on so much of the negatives of it. And that's kind of what I was worried about when I went to see it. Like, when I went there, I had high hopes for it. I'm like, this is going to be good. I mean, at the very least, I'm going to get to listen to some cool songs by Queen, and it'll be fun to watch. But I was also a little nervous that they were going to start dwelling into some of the stuff, because he had a lot of problems, like, especially in the early days before he kind of admitted that he was gay, he was homosexual. He was all over the place and depressed. I mean, are they going to dwell into that? And then later on in his life, are they going to go into his insane lifestyle that he got into, which is part of the reason why he contracted? For the most part, he just focused on them and the music. And again, like I think sanitize is a good word. Like, they sanitize it for PG-13 rating.
Yeah. And so, man, a lot of things that happen, it just seems like it's happening fast forward. They jump several years in time.
Well, it's 20 years.
I understand that. A lot of things are just happening just for the sake of happening. And it's supposed to be a Queen biopic, but it's more Freddie Mercury. So let me correct myself from the beginning. That says it's a Freddie Mercury biopic, but it's supposed to be a Queen biopic. Probably out of Queen, the next most major person is Brian May, the guitarist. Other than maybe a couple of scenes, is really just Rami Malek and just kind of his either creativeness, his family issues, his personal issues, issues with lovers and stuff like that. That is the whole entire movie.
I think where it missed the mark is when they invented stuff. They invented drama, because from the biopics I saw, the only real dramatic things that it wasn't even really dramatic. It was the times, his sexuality, like how he was brought up in his own head. That's what he was concerned with, his lifestyle and stuff. He was equal parts. He didn't care what anybody thought, but at the same time, he was just expressing himself creatively. But for the most part, Queen, they stuck together for 20 years. They were all friends. They each had their own private life, personal lives, but it wasn't the Beatles. They were just solid. They weren't going to break up. There was really no drama for them to really work with, except for you'd have 2 hours of them showing them how they made music. The scenes where he was beefing with the record producer and stuff, that didn't happen. Record label loved them.
Yeah, and that was also Mike Myers.
Yeah, it was Mike Myers. And from what I understood, he got along well with his family. His family wasn't against him.
Certain things just seem artificial. So you have his family thinks, well, at least his father and mother, mostly his father, believes that he's selling out, that he doesn't respect his culture, his growing up.
Right, right.
And the family values. And then Freddie turns into rock star Freddie until the end of the movie, where his father kind of gives him a hug and says, like, hey, I've always been proud of you type of thing.
Yeah, I don't think there was any beef with that. I think it was with his first girlfriend. But in truth, they were best friends up until he died, living next door to each other. And he was godfather to her kids. So it was like,
Will you turn the light on for me? And turn it off.
Yeah, it was like weird stuff like that. She was talking, like, I think I remember that interview with her. She was talking about how he would just be doing weird stuff in that weird Michael Jackson space where someone gets so famous, it's like they are in their own...
their character at that point.
Yeah, they exactly. And if anything, him being with his band was what kept him grounded. there wasn't really a whole lot of drama to really go with, especially nowadays when we've seen all kinds of stuff. So, but other than that, I thought the movie was fantastic. I mean, I was sitting there just like, oh, I didn't know they did this song. And the Live Aid shot,
which is like the last part of the movie, is almost like
the last part of the movie. And they made it seem like the Live Aid show was the last time they played together and all that stuff,
which is wrong.
It was wrong. They played for like another, seven?
I mean, yeah, probably up until like Freddie Mercury really got sick, which was like maybe the 90s. So
91 is when he died. So I think it was like 1990 when he really just like, he showed up one day. He looked fucking terrible. But they were playing up until then when he got sick. But he done all kinds of stuff. I mean, he released an opera song. He like...
kind of focus on the general arc of a group biopic that one particular person who is always the lead singer wants to break away from the group because they feel that the group is holding them back. And that's the way that happens. But the problem was that other people in Queen had already released solo album before Freddie Mercury solo album. But in this movie, they put that emphasis that, hey, well, Freddie wanted to break away from the group. That broke up Queen. And then they get back together for the Live Aid, even though they had already played together before that.
Oh, and he tells him before the show he has AIDS. It was like he didn't even know he had AIDS until like 3 years before he died. And then they'd always been together. They'd always split up. But the thing was, when they weren't touring and working, he would just be, I don't say self-destructive, but he would just be lost in his own world trying to find himself. And no, and you're right. They had released their own solo stuff. They were all working on other projects. I think, like I said, they tried to draw drama and stuff, but it didn't need to be. But Bryan Singer told a good story with this. And I think he kind of did a disservice to it a little bit by trying to create that drama if they just stuck with it. I mean, granted, the tragedy is that Freddie Mercury died, and the tragedy of it, like, he was a remarkable talent who died. And like that Live Aid show, the last scene of Live, I mean, granted, Rami Malek wasn't singing, but his performance on that was identical to what he did at Women of the State.
Well, what was not identical was that CG crowd.
That was like, you know what? Here's the thing. When I first saw that CG, I was like, oh, this is crap. But like, I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And like when it zoomed in and started panning over it, I mean, granted, it was all CG and it was crap for the most part, but it was bad CG. I guess that's what I should be saying. But it worked for that scene. I was detracted for like a half a second. And then I was like, oh, snap, that stadium is huge. And he started playing it. And I remember before the movie came out, I watched the whole 20-minute set that they did at Live Aid, that whole thing. And barring maybe 5 minutes, that was identical to what they put out. They even had the cups laid out on the piano the same way.
The Pepsi cups?
The Pepsi cups, the beer. I mean, they pulled off that Live Aid concert beautifully.
Well, all right, Keith, so let's wrap this up. What score would you give Bohemian Rhapsody? I gave it a 6.5.
It's not accurate, but I was entertained. I liked it. I'll watch it again. And I ended up listening to Queen all weekend after watching it, so it did its job in that regard. Bryan Singer ought to have more faith in the story that was being told, and that's fine. I understand. In the end, it told a good story. I enjoyed it, so I'll give this a 8. I was genuinely impressed and pleased with how much fun it turned out to be and how kind of light it was.
It was more of a comedy at times.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it was just kind of a formulaic drama that
Exactly.
something wasn't as interesting as it actually happened. So let's create this false sense of problems. I just thought it was, let's not paint somebody in a bad light. Let's get the movie done. The movie got done. Bryan Singer mostly directed the movie. Dexter Fletcher, who was, I guess, slated to direct it originally, finished the movie. And Rami Malek and Bryan Singer had some issues together.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah. So 6.5, 8 from Keith. It's not terrible. It's not Straight Outta Compton. That's Beast Game Podcast.